Hey, Vanya, how are you?
Hi.
I feel like we should maybe say right off the bat, because we were sort of conversing yesterday about dates and where we are in the year, and I thought we had more time.
I know.
But yeah, this will probably be our season finale for now. I mean,
yeah.
With traveling and holidays and all that. Yeah, I mean, you know, we'll drop back in every once in a while to do a shout out or something like that, but we'll take a little bit of time, and we'll get more to taking a little time as we discuss our week, because I have some, I'm going to start hyperventilating, but why don't you go first? Why don't you tell, how's your week going?
Well, mine is not exciting, so I'll tell you. I mean, I'm preparing to travel with children, and we're in the last week of school, so we're doing holiday parties and, you know, just getting little things out and trying not to stress. And like, everything's, you know, all good. Kids are doing okay. But like the other night, we, you know, at like 11 p.m., we always go up and like take my son's lifeless body to the toilet, just because that's how we've avoided wearing pull-ups at night, you know. Is basically, if we stop drinking anything by 6, we're good. Then he pees right before we go to bed, and then at around 11 we'll take him, and he's pretty much good for the whole night. It works in our favor. Well, my husband went up there and he wasn't in his bed, and so he's like, you know, that was weird. Sometimes he goes into my daughter's room if we're not in our room. He wasn't anywhere upstairs. We couldn't find him. And so my heart was like pounding out of my chest.
Jesus, yeah.
I know, because for one, my husband, he's always been a sleepwalker, you know, and it's scary. He hasn't done it so much lately, but like when we first got together, it would be like absolutely bizarro shit that would be happening. I'm like, what are you doing? But anyway, so I'm like thinking, oh my God, what if we missed it? He went outside, or I don't know. I go in his room. He fell off the bed. He was underneath the bed. So he's sleeping underneath the bed.
That's so crazy.
I mean, my heart, I swear to God, you guys, the feeling, I was like, it was pure panic. And I was like sleepy, and I had a glass of wine. I'm like, Jesus Christ, oh God, everybody, we got to like, and then I found him. He was fine. All good. But yeah, that's basically my week. Just prepping, excited to hopefully see you. Yes, still?
Yes. Okay, yes, okay, you will still be seeing me.
What is your news? What's your week?
Yeah. Well, it's been, well, first, I guess my week's been kind of fun. I've done some kind of fun stuff the last couple of days. Yeah, like Sunday night, they opened a new location of the restaurant that I work at.
Oh.
And I sort of snuck in to friends and family.
Good.
Like, well, I'm in the neighbor. I'm just going to like stop by. Yeah, the rules don't apply to me. And that was fun. I will say, it was like, I sat at the bar by myself and I had a very good time. And the people that were working, like the bartenders, were both super, super nice. So we had nice conversations, and like the owners and the managers were there, and we all talked and had lovely interactions. I will say, it would have been fun to like have someone else there with me. And I'm not someone who like needs, like, that I enjoy my alone time, and I enjoy, like, I even enjoy going to a restaurant. Right. Very, very independent. But that said, like, I kind of wanted to try the crab claws, and I didn't feel like I could get I had the risotto with duck confit, which, like, duck is my favorite meat.
Oh my gosh.
And this risotto was so good. And then, like, just had like a half chicken, and it was really, really good. And it's so bizarre, like, their brownies for their brownie sundae is gluten free. So like, I had a brownie sundae. That said, I was so sick by the time that I was done. I'd like consumed so much food. Yeah. But it was that thing where, like, if you're there with someone else, you're like, well, you get this, and then we can share that, and, you know.
Good
so
point. Yeah.
It was fun. Yeah, it was fun. I'm glad that I got to do it, but I was kind of like, it would be kind of fun to have someone else here. And then last night, I kind of, like, had a 1-2 punch where I got to do two really fun things. I got to go to, like, a industry performance of, it's not really a one-man show, but it's sort of, it's Gavin Creel, who I feel like, because he's playing the wolf in Into the Woods right now, so I feel like I mentioned him. And it was a really interesting, he wrote all of the music, like wrote music and lyrics for this, once again, not really one-man show, because there were two other actors who kind of, well, like three, there were a few people that kind of interacted, and part of it was like the band would kind of get involved from time to time. But it was really cool. I'm going to say the name wrong. I think it was called Walk On Through, and it was about sort of his relationship with the Metropolitan Museum of Art.
Oh, interesting.
And yeah, and sort of about how he wasn't really like an art person, but he started going and like sort of getting invested in some of the artwork, and he kind of talked about his journey of becoming an art lover, which sounds very dry, and it wasn't. It was very, very interesting, and you know, I think it's still a bit of a work in progress, and like to be like, I have some notes, but you know, only because I yeah. really enjoyed it. Like, yes. like, you know, there were things that I was like, oh, I think this could be strengthened or you could probably zhuzh this up a little bit. But I was really, really impressed. And to be honest with you, like, it was really inspiring in a lot Good. Of ways to kind of see this person. And granted, he has a few things that I don't have, like a theater career and a Tony Award. But it was, you know, nonetheless, inspiring. What do those even mean?
What are those even? Pshaw.
But like to see this sort of creation of him telling his story through music, which is, you know, is something that I've been wanting to do for yeah. several years now. Yes. Like I literally have a script and music written that I've just kind of like, we'll do that some other time when I'm feeling brave. But it was inspiring to see that and to yeah. see performance like that. It was really cool in this really cool theater space, Pershing Square, I think it's called, and they're like fourth. I'd never been there before. It's on 42nd Street. It's a really interesting, beautiful space. And so that was also fun, just to like be in this in a different theater than I've ever been in before. And then I got to go to the Six holiday party last night.
What?
And it just sort of worked out. Yeah, fun. Annabelle, who I know I've mentioned several times,
Six,
but
she
works Six the Musical. And it was oh, so funny. My friend Ben, who I went to the show with last night, just sent me a thing about the show. He is asking me questions that I will answer later. Calm down, Ben. I'll be right with you. but it was fun. It was at the Dream Hotel, like on the 15th floor. So it was like the roof. I will say that I was like, what do those stairs go to? And so we walked up and it was like open air, like top of a building. I'll send you a picture. The view is really, really beautiful. But it's that thing where when it's glass walls, it like freaks me out a little bit. Because I can just imagine the glass not being there. So I got a little dizzy. I was like, all right, I can't feel my legs. So we should probably go back inside. But it was cool. It's also sort of that thing of like being at a company holiday party that's not your company.
Sure.
Where I had a good time and like Jesse came along too. So I had, you know, Annabelle and Jesse and we like hung out and we had a really good time. But I was kind of like, I don't know if I belong here. That said, it was very fun. I will also say we got to the thing and like the only food was past hors d'oeuvres that neither of us could eat.
Oh no.
So we like threw a drink back. We're like, let's go get tacos. So we went to this cool little taco place down the street and then went back. But it was fun. It was overall a fun experience and just, you know, a neat New York experience to be on the roof of the
Dream Hotel. What I love about New York, yeah.
Yeah, there's always a taco place down the street too. That's another thing I love about New York. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so it's been pretty fun. The thing that I was sort of referencing earlier and that gives me a little bit of heart palpitations when I think about it is that I also, you know, I'll put it dramatically to start out. I quit my job.
Yeah.
I gave my 2 weeks about a week ago. And listen, I right now have every intention of going back. You know, they're incredibly supportive of the choice that I've made. That between wanting to go back to our hometown for the holidays and see my family, I feel like that's important. And I had been kind of waffling on that of like, I think that I've been sort of denying how afraid I am of the holidays.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really scared. And I don't know if that sounds silly, but I just don't know how, you know, it's my mom's birthday on New Year's Eve. And so it was sort of between the idea of my first Christmas without her, without either parent, and then a New Year's Eve that is her birthday when she's not going to be here anymore. And then even just going into the spring, you know, I mean, both of my parents passed in the early months of spring and both of their birthdays are, you know, my mom is New Year's Eve and my dad is January 21st. Just feels like these next 2 months, I thought, you know, why don't I give myself a pause on work and focus on other things? And it's very, I'm very privileged that I have the ability to do that. Like, I know that not everyone can take a couple of months and not have a source of income for a little bit. And I'm scared. Like, I'm nervous financially and I'm nervous emotionally. But it's funny that I had been tossing it around in my brain for a few months now. But I hadn't had any details, so I hadn't really felt like I could say anything to my work. And then it just got to the point where I was like, I don't want to throw anyone for a loop. Like, I don't want this to be like a, hey, I'm leaving tomorrow.
Because you're a responsible employee, and that's why if you want to come back, they will always take you back.
Yeah, and once again, some of the conversations that I had when I was at this, the restaurant opening, were with owners and management. And everyone is so supportive and so
good.
Super, super sweet about it. And when I sat down to tell the manager, like, it, as I was telling her my plan, it just felt correct. I was like, oh, the things that I'm saying feel crazy, but also feel absolutely the right choice to make.
Love it.
So it's going to be an interesting couple of months that I, you know, we'll get to this a little bit later, but I'm going to, you know, work on some habits and work on myself. And I'm grateful that I can have that. And I'm honestly, you know, grateful that I have a job that's letting me do that. So that's sort of my big announcement there.
I'm proud of you for taking care of yourself and honoring, like, just honoring it, the thought of doing it. You know, it's the right thing. And like getting that confirmation from yourself when you did do it, like the relief that you felt.
Yeah.
Or, you know, whatever it is when you did talk right to your work. I completely understand that. So yeah. I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm very excited. I also feel like I meant to do this last week. This is the dumbest story, but I'm going to try to sort of explain my crossword puzzle shenanigan that happened. Because it's so funny because we must have released that episode. Oh, no. We recorded it. And then I had texted my friend Eric, because he also does the puzzle, that I was like, yeah, there's a mistake. Like, the New York Times has made a mistake. Once again, that's such a ridiculous thing to think, that like you've caught the New York Times in a mistake on their crossword puzzle. And I don't know how to make this explanation work other than, and this I guess is like a, you know, a 3 or 4 week spoiler for a crossword puzzle. But there was a clue to which the answer was clearly the word blithe.
Okay.
Which I understand and recognize is spelt with an I.
Oh,
I know that to be true. Somehow, I don't know if it was as I was doing the crossword or like right before I was doing the crossword, that I was reading an article about Blythe Danner.
Oh, I knew it. I knew you were going to say that. Oh my God.
Who spells her name with a Y. And I just, I was like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, this is an incorrect spelling of this word. But it wasn't funny, even that. Mike. In my mind, the crossword clue was like actress who won 2 Emmy Awards for a TV show no one's ever heard of, which is also true, Blythe Danner. But I just couldn't, it was bizarre to me that when Eric showed up and was like, there's not a mistake. And I was like, yeah, because the clue was about the actress. And he was like, it wasn't about the actress. And then I looked at it and I'm like, you are correct. This is not about the actress. This is about the word. It was just the weirdest like cross wiring in my brain. So I blame Gwyneth Paltrow. I'm just kidding.
Yep.
But yeah, that was my crazy crossword moment of like, I have discovered a mistake. It wasn't a mistake. It's that my brain had gone crazy.
So, I love it.
Thank you. So that's all. How's it going? Anything you're digging in particular this week?
Yes, actually, it was something that I did this week. I did it last night. I went to see theater, guys.
Ooh, fun. Yes, like, what'd you see?
So, proud of myself. So I went to see a one-man show that actually played in New York and got it was a New York Times critics pick or whatever. It played at the Brick Theater there. It was playing at the Hayworth, or I forget what it's called, like Typewriter Dynasty Theater at the Hayworth, blah, 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 in LA. It's called Never Let Go. It's like a one-man show. Have you heard about it?
I haven't, no.
Yeah, so the guy, so Michael Kinnon was the person who created it. It's a one-man stage version of the Titanic, and it's basically takes all of the characters, or not all, but like the main characters, Leonardo, Kate, the older lady, and he embodies them. He does the entire movie in 1 hour instead of 3.5. And I just had so much fun. Averyn and I went on our friend Teresa Buchheister's recommendation, and it was delightful. The actor, Michael, is so lovely and amazing, almost like an amazing mimic of like Leonardo DiCaprio at the time. Like, his voice sounded exactly like it. And as he shifted from person to person, it was effortless. It was beautiful. His body changed. If this plays in your home, in town, anywhere, it's called Never Let Go. You have to go. At the end, there's a whole, you know, he does talk about the My Heart Will Go On, the song.
Uh-huh.
And so I don't want to give it away, but there's just, you could tell he really loved that movie. Right. So there's reverence to it, but there's also a little bit of like, you know, he's a little bit of a wink of an eye. Oh, mm-hmm. It was just so fun. And there's like a 1 minute, he has a sex scene by himself. It's great. It's beautifully done. I know it's hard to even imagine saying that, but it was just like, it was such a lovely show. And honestly, it reminded me how much I love that movie.
Oh my God, that I love movie it so much. Much.
So if it comes back to New York, Mike, yeah, you have to see Absolutely. It. I'll let you know if I hear of it. But yeah. Find, you know, anybody, I wonder if he'll do a bit of a tour with it, because I really think that it was sold out completely.
Interesting. Oh, that's really cool. All right. Yeah, I'll definitely look for fun. That.
Yeah. How about you? And digging. Oh, wait, I want to say one thing. I love Wednesday still. So now it's out and I want everyone to just go watch it because it's so good.
I'm glad you brought it up. I watched the first episode.
Ooh.
Yes. Aside from, I have to let go of some of the literalness of it.
Of course.
Some of it's very intense. But I did really enjoy it, and like such a great cast. So I'm very excited to continue that. Speaking of, I'm pretty sure it got a nomination today in the Golden Globes. Those came out today. Yeah.
Because
for a second I was like, what's Wednesday? And I'm like, oh, you watch. You know what that is.
Same. I did the same thing. Right? I was like, what is Wednesday? Oh, yeah. It's the thing I can't stop talking about. What the hell's wrong?
Yeah. I did the exact same thing. It's so funny. So Golden Globes came out today. And I know that we're still in a place of like, how much are we going to care about that?
Sure,
like,
sure.
Are the Golden Globes pay attention. I'm going to pay attention because I love awards and
Have they adjusted their membership? Like,
yeah, they've almost doubled their membership. And I know that it was inviting a lot more, like minorities
diverse.
And a lot more. Like, getting a much more diverse. I mean, you know, they still have some issues. They didn't nominate a single female director this year. And there were many standout films directed by women. They didn't nominate a single film, and they nominate 10 films, and not a single one of them was helmed by a female director. It's a little, it's a little, you know. I will also say that, like, I talked about Danielle Deadweiler, plays the lead in the movie Till, as I think that she's sort of Cate Blanchett's biggest competition, not to put it as a competition, but she wasn't nominated, which I think is sort of like flabbergasting, if that's a correct usage of that word.
Sure.
So I'm hoping that she gets back in the game, because she's just so good in Till. Was nominated. Oh, Vanya, I saw Empire of Light on Sunday. I'm still in pain. Like, it made me, and I mean that in the best way possible. Like, my heart, Olivia Colman is a fucking treasure. I want to go back and watch everything she's ever done. She's so flawless to me, and she's so good in this film that is such a high wire act. Like, it is a tricky role to play. Like, quickly, it's a film that takes place in 1980 in a small town at a Art Deco theater on the coast in England. And it's the lead, Olivia Colman, plays a woman who you slowly learn is dealing with some kind of, for lack of a better term, mental illness. That she is dealing with perhaps depression, perhaps mania. One of the things that I love about it, and I will say that it has not gotten great reviews, and I started reading some of the reviews today, and then I started getting so angry that I couldn't take it, because I was like, can you just, because everyone, it's that thing about film reviewers where they're watching it like they're film majors, which they probably were, but I'm like, can you just calm down and watch a movie and like just be moved by it? And there was so much like weird technical of like, who's the protagonist and the point of view feels off in certain scenes, and I'm like, can you just watch a damn movie? Like, why? Like, yeah, seriously, she's making the right gesture right now. Michael Ward plays this young black guy who comes to work at the movie theater, and they develop perhaps an interesting relationship, let's just put it that way. And I think he's new. Like, I don't know him from anything. And he's so good. The whole cast, like, Colin Firth has kind of a small, awful, kind of gross role, but he's very, very good in it. Anyways, I just really loved it.
I looked it up to see if I could see it. It's not playing anywhere near me. I have to go all the way into LA. What the heck?
So I think that it's limited right now. I think that it's playing in limited theaters and then will open wide.
Oh, good. Because I'm hoping by the time we get to where my parents live that it'll be there. Because I'm seriously, sorry, Mom and Dad, if you're listening to this. I'm just going to watch movies all the time and have you watch my children. Because I need to catch up. I'm in competition with Mike. In fact, maybe you and I could go see some movies together.
Yes,
depending
for sure.
on how long you're, you know.
You know, I'm also going to say this. I planned my trip for too short. I'm going to see if I can change my, because in my mind, I'm like, I'm going to see if I can stay a little bit longer. Cause I think that I'm cutting it a little too short. I'd like to be there for a bit longer. So we'll update on that. But,
yeah.
Anyway, Empire of Life, Empire of Life, Empire of Light is the name of it. I think it's limited right now when it comes to, I just thought it was beautiful. And I just, it was like, felt so emotional and so honest and raw to me. And I get the technical foibles perhaps, but I just didn't care about any of that. It just made me, it made me feel. And for me, that's the most important thing. So
yes,
there you go. Anything you could do without this week?
You know, it's pretty simple for me this week. It's like, I could really do without feeling like the only time I can have alone time is after the kids go to bed. So I have been staying up till like 1 a.m. every night. And for me, I wake up at 6:30. Like, that's hard on my body. I've always been a night owl. And even when I started dating my husband, he was somebody, and actually, you know what? All my friends are like this, but like everybody at night wants to like watch movies and stuff like that. And I used to be the person who was like, I want to be doing like five crafts and watching a film and eating something. And, you know, so I have a bit of a hard time relaxing, but yeah, I just to bring it back to what I was saying in the original, I just don't feel like, what I need to learn is to figure out how to feel that I own my own self when I'm with other people or something.
Gotcha.
It's not even just my family. It's just like anything, you know. I feel like the only time, it's mostly with the kids, let's be honest, but like anytime when they go to bed, then I'm finally like, okay. And in turn, that causes me to start my glass of wine at like 9:30, and you know what I mean, things like that,
right?
When you keep reading stupid articles that are probably right about how important sleep is, and I'm just like, and then I look in the morning and I look at myself and I'm like, you look like you haven't slept, because you haven't slept. Anyways, that's what I could do without. I'm so frustrated about it.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to be kind. I'm trying to give myself grace, because we're about to, you know, go on holiday, and I want to enjoy that time. And I will be able to, because we won't be having to get up really early. So I'm just going to keep staying up late for a little while and worry about it in the new year.
Yeah, that's a little bit where I am too, of like, all right, good habits start next year.
Yeah. And I'm all about it. I really am. I'm really motivated. But yeah. What about you? What could you do without?
We'll get more to that later. Well, here's what I can do without. And I feel like every time I say like, we don't love doing without things that have to do with art, but I'm saying it more often.
I wish that I
enjoyed the White Lotus finales more. I feel like two seasons in a row, like, I'm super into the series, and then I get to the finale and I'm like, what? Like, what? Why? Like, and whatever. Maybe it's me. The thing is, I really like Mike White. Like, he made a film years ago called Year of the Dog with Molly Shannon and Laura Dern.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my gosh. It's so beautiful. Like, one of my favorite tiny films. Like, I really enjoy him. And, like, he's been on Fresh Air recently, and I love listening to interviews with him. I think he's super smart. He just always ends on a, where I'm like, why? Like, why?
What are you missing? What do you feel that is?
There's just always like the, like a thing, I'm not going to say what it is, but a thing happens in the finale where I was like, that's a bummer. Like, that's so upsetting that like, that's how we're going to end that storyline. And then it has a follow-up interview with him where he's like, I just thought it was really funny. And I'm like, that's not funny. Like, why is, how is that funny? Like, and once again, this is why it's me. I just don't have that. I don't know. It's just frustrating. Also, it took me two seasons to be like, oh, Mike White wrote the White Lotus. He named that after himself, right? Like, it's the White Lotus because his name is Mike White. It took me two seasons to be like, oh, you named this place after yourself.
Interesting.
So that's all. I just wish that I liked the finales more. I super, super enjoy the series.
But you enjoy the series, thing.
I really enjoy it. The acting is like, the ensemble's so good. Aubrey Plaza, like, she's so good. I mean, the whole cast is so good. Theo James is so handsome. I feel like he took other people's handsome. Like, I have this weird thing sometimes with guys that are like super attractive where I'm like, I feel like I'm less handsome because you're so handsome. Like, I feel like there's a finite amount of handsome. Mm. Yeah, he took too much. Like, he was like, there was like extra, and he's like, I'm going to take this too. And I'm like, no, that's fine. Take it. Anyway, I really enjoyed it in general. It's just the finale. Watch it. And then when you get to the end, we'll talk, and maybe you'll think it's funny. There's nothing like, if you liked it, you're not wrong.
I don't know. I'm too sensitive and very empathetic, I guess is the right word, so I probably won't think it's funny. So. I don't know what it is. We'll find out.
So we've kind of sort of started talking about this, but the thing that I was thinking about for our final topic of our season as we head into the holidays and head into the new year, and I don't necessarily want to, I have very mixed feelings on the idea of a New Year's resolution. And I think that it's pretty well known that they almost never work, that people tend to not stay with the resolution. But, you know, I think of a thing that I heard in college when I can't even think of who it was, but I think it was like a casting director who would come to the college that we went to and kind of sat down with some of the people. And I wasn't even in the theater program in college. I did music, but I did some theater, obviously. We did some theater together. And she said something that's always stuck with me. And it was about making plans. And I want to say it correctly, that I think what she said was, planning is important. Plans aren't worth a damn.
Mm.
Which I think is an interesting thing to think about. That even if you don't go with the plan you made, it's good to make a plan. So I don't know if we can kind of, what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on resolutions and on that kind of thing?
So I mean, I feel the same way about like the resolutions, but I am a big goal setter. So like all my life, I always kind of have been somebody who will write down my goals, and maybe not necessarily during the New Year's, but sometimes that is fun to kind of like think of a new slate. And I've never been too hard on myself, but truthfully, a lot of those goals, and I felt when I was a child more, I'm like younger mind, I would just like be fantasizing about what these goals are going to fix my life kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And that's
right.
Not like how that really works. But in other things, like even in school, I've been very lucky, like in certain classes I've taken, and like I've always been involved in like student body, and you take these like leadership courses and things like that. So you learn how to make, it sounds cheesy, but as I grow older, the recommendations of how you set goals are kind of similar. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, have you ever heard of a SMART goal?
I don't think that I have.
Okay, so SMART goals just help you get like more specific. So if you have like a big goal of like, I want to be a zookeeper or whatever, like it's a big goal.
Uh-huh.
There's going to be a lot of smaller goals that are going to get you to that place. So you break them down and you do SMART goals. So it's like, it all stands for something. Like the S is for a specific. It's like a goal that should be precise with no room for interpretation. And then it has to be measurable. So you should be able to quantify it, and progress should be easy to track. And I know this is so technical, but I like it.
Yeah.
The next one is attainable or achievable. So the goal, it should be achievable, like not like I'm going to wrestle a lion or whatever. You know, it has to be something. It can't be unrealistic. It has to be relevant. So the goal needs to contribute to like whatever your broader overarching goal is. And that could just be like my ethics are this, I want to be a good person or whatever, you know what I mean? And then it has to be time bound. So the goal needs to have a specific start time and an end time. So, and then you can be done with it. So because I feel like sometimes when we make those goals, it's like, for me, it's always a workout goal and I never keep with it or, you know, a healthy goal kind of thing. But I wonder if I did take that and really was sort of like very realistic, because I don't think I'm very realistic when I make certain goals. So I'm going to try that. And maybe not necessarily for New Year's, but kind of because I am in the mood to switch some things up. But I do want to say something else. I was listening. Yeah. It didn't say it as my digging, but I really did dig it. I was watching Oprah interview Quinta Brunson.
Gotcha.
Yeah. You know, she's the creator
Abbott
of
Elementary.
Thank you. And they talked a lot about goals and like and their lives and all these things. But I thought one thing she was talking about was, well, one thing she said was Oprah said she doesn't do anything without an extremely clear intention. And I was like, I have to look that up, because I was like, what does that even mean? I mean, like, I get it. Like, I think I get it. Like, if I go into a meeting with people, my intention is to love more. I don't know. Something I'm not quite sure, but I did look her up a little bit. So she says your clear intention, you have to know what like the real reason is, what the real motivation is, and what the energy, she says, what is the energy of my intention that it's going to go into my thoughts and actions and then be returned back to me. It's like, it's kind of a big thought. And she also says your intention is always one with the law, meaning, and I'm like, what's the law? Is the law of the what? But anyways, it means before you even think about a thing, you have an intention for the thing, and that intention is going to determine the outcome. And so her whole thing is like, you get to be the master of your world. And then as I was like deep diving in on YouTube, finding like Oprah, I found an interview, and I swear to God, I'm gonna stop talking about Oprah. But you know what? I like her, and anyone can just like, Oprah. I'm sorry. I don't know why people don't like her. I like her. But so I'm watching an interview, and it's actually with the three women in A Wrinkle in Time, Oprah, Reese, and what's her name from The Office? Oh my gosh.
Mindy Kaling.
Thank you, Mindy Kaling. This is why we're a good team. And by the way, I did start watching The Amazing Race, and I really think we should do it someday. Sorry, side note. Going back to A Wrinkle in Time. So the interviewer was saying, I wrote it down. So there's a quote in the movie, and the quote is, "The wound is the place where the light enters you." Okay, so this is not necessarily about goal setting, but it just, I was like, holy shit. And so what Oprah said to that is, there's not one single thing that has ever happened. Okay, wait, let me make sure I can read my writing. There's not one single thing that has ever happened to you or will happen to you that would be wasted. Every crisis, every joy, everything shows up to help you be who you are meant to be. And I was like, holy crap. Because I don't know, sometimes I get stuck on stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, that is incredible. So sorry, I did shift it a little bit, but got open.
No, I love it. I wanted us to kind of branch out on this because I don't know what my intentions are. You know, like, and we've kind of talked about this, and I don't know if I've said this on the podcast, and I know it gets real deep, but I don't know who I am right now. Like, I don't know what my intentions are. I don't know what I want.
Like purpose, yeah.
Right. Like, so it's hard for me to even know what goals to do because I don't know what my end goal is anymore. And I don't mean to be like, I'm lost, but I'm kind of lost. I feel a little lost these days. I feel a little, it's part of why I've been going out of town so much is to sort of like, all right, let's look here. Let me look at this thing. Let me see how this other environment treats me. And it's sort of why I'm taking time off at work. Cause right now my intent is to like get through my work day. Like my intent is to like do my best at my job. And there's nothing wrong with that, but my job isn't me. Like, I don't want that to be me. I don't know what me is.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that's part of why I wanted to have this discussion is that, because I have mixed feelings on like a resolution, you know.
Right.
The only resolution that I remember ever making was the year that I lived in Atlanta and I made the resolution to drink more sparkling wine. And it's, and I remember that one because it was I was like, I'm just, how about if that's my resolution this year? Like just, and I remember, and I did really well at it, you know, and I, and I'm not someone who really, I don't really enjoy sparkling wine anymore. So I would never make that resolution again. But you know, it's so easy to be hard on yourself with resolutions
100%.
And be like, well, if I don't do this, then I fail. And, you know, for the record, I want to bring up, you rode your bike.
I did. I rode my bike. I got on the Peloton and it didn't hurt me and it was fine. It was all fine. And I watched a movie while I did it and it was fine. And it wasn't scary and not even hard. And I did it. And I, Mike and I are connected on our Apple Watches.
Yes.
And so he gave me some very sweet accolades. Yeah.
And, you know, a part of it, what I was saying to you is, like, just keep doing that, and then eventually it's going to be a habit. Like, it becomes a thing that you do. And I think that that's what I'm trying to work on in the new year is figuring out, I used to have better habits, and I work out, and that is a great habit. It's a great thing to do. And I don't mean to be like, that's not important, but I used to have writing habits. I used to have like songwriting and otherwise, and I just don't do that anymore. And I was listening to the podcast that you recommended. I listened to that on my walk from my apartment to Midtown and listened to that the whole way. And the quote that I said to you, and it doesn't necessarily have to do with this exactly, but I was so touched by, he has a moment, I'm gonna say it wrong, but it essentially was that his purpose is not to make people feel better. It's to help people be better at feeling. And I thought that was such a interesting thing to think about. And then we got to the no's, and that's the exercise that he does at the end of like, what should you be saying no to? And the overwhelming thing that I had to meet is that I say no to myself far too often.
Oh, so you're denying some of your like something you want. And you're like, I do the same thing though.
Right.
I'm scared of a lot of things.
Yeah, where I think like, sit down and write for 30 minutes. And I'm like, no, that's not enough time to accomplish anything. What's the point?
Right.
And there is a point to that. There is a reason to sit down and even do something for a short amount of time, because it helps you develop those habits. Yeah. And like playing my guitar that I once every 2 months will like, I should do this more often. And then I don't. Yeah. And I don't want to punish myself for not doing it, but I want to reward myself not for doing it. I want to reward myself by doing it. Like the doing of the creative thing used to bring me such reward, and I've gotten away from that. And
oh, Mike. I can relate so much. I feel lost as well, maybe in a different way. But I feel like I used to be so like, I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm... but I do feel that quote is... It does work, because I feel like when we're... I feel like a lot of times I'm like, I'm just trying to feel better. Like, what can I... What is my purpose so I could just feel better about life? It's like, what does he say? What he's not trying to make people feel better.
He's trying to make people better at feeling.
Better at feeling. And I feel like that's... Like, instead of denying, it's like, if we can feel our feelings, we can become this instrument that is receives easier, you know, like receives like whatever. If you're inspired to do something, you do it instead of, and then noticing like those feelings of like, well, no, you don't have time to really do anything. You can just put those in a different place because you know that's something else. It's not your inspiration. I don't know. It's complicated, but... Even watching the show last night, the movie or the play or the one person show, I also was like, oh man, I haven't been on stage in, I mean, it's been years. It's, and it kills me because I love being in front on stage, you know? And I'm like, but I am very afraid. Anyways, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but keep talking.
No, you didn't. I love it.
Yeah, it's just tough. It's
that was kind of, that was kind of it. It's just once again, that's if I'm thinking about a resolution or I'm thinking about a change that I want to make, it's just that. And this goes back to your smart thing, and I think that's why I liked it, because I feel like instead of being like, my goal for the new year is to do a one-man show, like maybe it's just to like finish writing the songs, and maybe it's just to like get things in a place where where I feel comfortable presenting it, but also not being precious about it, because we've also talked about that both of us, we are perfectionists. You know, my whatever that personality trait, I'm fear driven, but I'm technically, I think it's called the romantic is what I am, which feels weird because I don't feel like I'm very romantic. But the point of that is that I think that everything should be perfect. Like, I think everything should be exactly right, instead of being like, well, this is what I have to offer. This is what I have to give. And that makes it special. That makes it important, rather than, because we also talked about this, where I tend to have the thing of like, well, who cares? Like, who cares about my story? Yeah. Who cares about what I have to offer? Instead of being like, well, but at least offer it. And then if people don't care, they don't care. But
and you care. I mean, I care, you know, make it for the smaller audience. And the truth is like, people will. There was another thing that Oprah talked about. It was talking about, you have to meet the vibration. So this was also a little bit hard for me to like kind of wrap my mind around, but so back when I was trying to be an actor, I think I was just trying too hard. Like, I had my vision board. I was like, I was so fearful of not getting it, right? So what they talk about a lot of like, or what she was talking about was like, you have to meet it where the vibration is. So you set your goal and then you release it. And you say, it's okay. If I don't get it, it's fine. But in my mind, I'm like, I was so desperate. And that desperation doesn't really work either. And... You know, it's like, so it's like, I just gotta be fucking cool about it, man. I don't know if that's what it is. But that was a quote of her talking in that same interview on The Wrinkle of Time. And the interviewer was asking if she vision boards. And she's like, I don't anymore, because I know how to like make my, you know, offering of this is what I want. She sets it and then she releases it. And then she believes, she has faith that it's coming back. But I do think you need a mixture of the smart goals with it. So like, if you're like, okay, here we go. Or let's say for myself, I want to do a show. I want to be on stage somewhere. So I'm setting that and then I leave it. But don't I need to like try to get on stage? Or is it an opportunity going to come to me because we're manifesting? Complicated. I don't know. Yeah. Just all that to say is, I don't know.
Well, that's a good enough place to leave the conversation, I think. Anything random for us to leave off with?
Okay, it's Theodore Roosevelt quote, and it is about kind of about goal setting, but it kind of blew my mind, because sometimes I don't believe. Believe you can, and you are halfway there. So if you believe you can, you are 50% to getting your goal.
Gotcha. I like it.
I love that. I was like, yeah. Well, no wonder. Like, I'm living in fear for so many things of like being successful in the podcast. Da, 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 da. I love that. Believe you can. 50%.
I feel like we should always end on your random things because they're always so much more inspiring than mine. No. Because mine is just that I've been ordering, you know, I hate that I'm giving him more money, but I've been ordering on Amazon, you know, from time to time. And then it has that thing where you can, like, have it come at a later date and they'll give you, like, a credit or whatever. Oh. And I've sort of been opting for that, but then I've never been, like, using the credits. I've been like, well, how do I reuse these? And then I was looking in, like, the fine print, and you use it. You can't use it in ordering. You have to use it in, like, renting or buying, like, off of the actual, like, platform. Like, and I don't ever do that. So I was like, well, then go F yourself. Why am I even doing this? But yeah. Then I did realize that, like, I'm probably going to end up renting some films this year. So anyways, that's my random thing, is that if you are doing the thing where you let it come later and you get points, know that you have to use them for, like, buying or renting music or film off of the actual, like, service.
Okay.
And they do expire.
So, like, Prime or...
Yes. Yeah.
And the things expire. But once you buy it, it's yours, let's say.
Yes. That's also a gray area with Amazon where technically when you buy stuff on the platform, you don't technically own it. You just have rented it permanently. It's a little sketchy. I'm not going to lie. It's a little sketchy.
That upsets me. I have so many movies. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I have a few. I mean, I don't think that Amazon's going to go away at any time soon, so you're probably okay. But it is... It's a little bit sketchville.
That's like having all of your DVDs on fire and never getting them again. I'm worried now. No.
Well, that's a fun place for us to end our conversation for this season. And I love you. And well, it's been great this whole experience. And I'm so excited to see you very soon. And and to all the listeners, thank you so much for following us. And we'll have more stuff coming along. So, but I hope everyone enjoys their holiday and take a little time to. I almost said enjoy The View because I was going to be a host on The View. But no, but take time for yourself. I hope that we can all take, once again, I am scary and excited for the next few months of my life. And I'll be sharing those with you as well. And then we'll be back in the new year at some point.
That's right. And for a new season of Mike and Vanya, can't not. And also,
with maybe
new
stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I was, exactly. I was also just like... We should every once in a while just play that Alana song because it's so good. It's where it came from. Anyways, I love you guys. Have a happy new year.
Happy. All right, be back later. Bye.
Have a happy.
Thank you for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursday, so don't forget to subscribe if you want to be a part of this journey. Mike Jensen, that's me, is also the co-creator and co-host of We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex and the City, alongside Elise Castle. You can also follow him, me, at MikeJensen77. Vanya Arslanian is the co-creator and co-host of Rom Crime with Avrin and Vanya, alongside Avrin Mackey. Follow them at Rom Crime. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not with a whole lot of underscores and email us at MikeandVanyaCan'tNot@gmail. We're also on Twitter. Why? No one knows, but you can follow us there at Mike and Vanya. We will be back.
Because we can.
I just thought it was beautiful. Oh, gosh. Give me one second. I need to look up.
Oh, I thought it was Ben. I'm like, Ben, stop texting
Ben,
Mike.
Leave me alone. I'm just kidding,
this
Ben.
This is my time.
Text me anytime you want. I'm always here for you.